This conference is being recorded.
Do you guys hear that when the little voice comes on and says, "This conference is being recorded"?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good. I definitely want you guys to know it's being recorded because I do invite your questions and your stories, and it's important that you realize that whatever you share is being recorded for the benefit of others to be able to listen to later. So welcome, everyone, to the Heart Start to Your Week call from Fiera. And did anybody come on the line that wants to say hello or introduce yourself before we get started while I was doing the recording process?
Yeah, hi, this is Sue Meese.
Hey, Sue. I'm not in Russia.
I gathered.
Yes, and some of the other heart starters might be wondering what happened after the story I told last week. We addressed in our call the stress of uncertainty and how to meet uncertainty with the heart, because that was very at the forefront in my own experience, having been scheduled to speak at a conflict resolution conference today in Russia in St. Petersburg. And last week still didn't have my plane ticket paid for by the company that was sponsoring me. And as it turned out, their funding did indeed fall through. I didn't know that until, well, I actually didn't know that until yesterday. But by Friday, when I was supposed to leave on a red eye and I spoke with them at noon with my clothes laid out on my bed going, "Am I leaving today?" And they said, "Well, no, but we might be able to get you out tomorrow." And I realized that it was at that point, by remaining in alignment with my core values, which we spoke about last time, as a way of managing the stress of uncertainty with the power of the heart, that resolving conflict was obviously part of the reason I was going, and that it was creating a lot of chaos and conflict for people around me. Is she going? Is she not going? And finally I realized that to hold true to my values, I just needed to say, next year we'll do this differently. But right now I need to create clarity and commitment for the people around me and inside myself. So very interesting to see how when you hold your center, no matter what whirlwind is going on in the hurricane of stress around you, you know, and things are changing fast. We live in very changing times. 300 years ago, we talked about this in some of our other Heart Start calls, a farmer would receive less information in his lifetime than we do today in one day. We are adapting and responding to so much change. If you even think about 20 years ago, we didn't even have DVD players or iPods. And so in the context of all this flux, there can be a lot of uncertainty and a lot of stress in people's lives all around us. And rather than taking any of that personally or getting swept up in the stress virus, by holding true to our values at the core of our being in our heart, Heart Math Tools being a gateway to do that, and the tools that we teach here at Fiera, which we'll talk about in a moment, then we don't have to judge other people for not being able to get it together, like the company that was going to bring me and not bring the financing. I had some friends say to me, "God, Sheva, why aren't you just livid?" And I laughed, like, what good is that going to do, or how is that going to contribute to the energy of conflict resolution that this conference is all about? It's really not necessary for me to get angry with well-intentioned people that may not have, that may are working with limited resources and don't have the same heart tools I do to be able to consider the stress they might be putting others under with their ungroundedness, said with great care and not judgment, you know. And so it certainly taught me about my discernment for the future. I could have saved myself a lot of energy and time, which is what today's call is going to be about, is how to save time, bend time, create time, have more time for what matters to you with the power of the heart. And that's what we teach here at my company called Fiera. My name is Sheva, for those of you that are coming onto this call for the first time. and I'm the CEO of a company called Fiera, which is designed to eliminate anxiety, depression, and stress for people all over the world without drugs. And Fiera is a word that we invented to describe what there is in the absence of anxiety, depression, and stress. Because I find that the clients that I work with, who are people from all walks of life, dealing with all different types of stressors, including health challenges, pain, relationship problems or money issues, eating disorders, career transitions, Darshan,
yeah.
Addictions, obesity, anxiety, depression, as we mentioned already, but also people who are not necessarily struggling with problems but may want to meet and embrace challenges differently, like athletes. We work with Olympic athletes and star performers or celebrities or people in the music and entertainment industry, film industry, who are looking to get more of a leading edge or a deeper sincerity and authenticity in the work that they do. And the power of the heart opens the gateway for all of that through a system of tools developed over 20 years of scientific research into a proprietary system proven by science, proven in published in medical journals by a research company, research institute, and training company in Northern California called HeartMath. And so HeartMath has licensed Fiera to bring their tools, which leverage the power of the heart and are an access code to that power, to create this feel-great feeling that we're calling Fiera. Our clients have lots of words to describe their stress, depression, and anxiety, but we found there was a shortage on the vocabulary describing feeling great. That feeling when you're full of vitality, full of energy, full of passion, when you feel on purpose, when you feel a value inside and to the world around you, when you know things inside you without knowing how you know, and you're receptive to input from the outside and caring for other people, but at your internal core, you can't be swayed from your purpose or your value. That's Fiera. It embodies a wide spectrum of passion, enthusiasm, as well as compassion and peace. And it turns out that those feel-great feelings that we're calling Fiera not only feel good to you, but they are good for you. Feeling good, feeling Fiera, creates a distinctly ordered rhythm in the heart. And that ordered rhythm in the heart facilitates improved brain function, improved immunity. It synchronizes the nervous system, which governs 97% of your body's functioning. It balances hormones. And that all spells increased energy and stamina, which we're going to talk about today because that relates directly to having more time. It also leads people to more optimum weight, optimum blood pressure, clearer thinking and decision making. You guys heard Einstein was said to use more of his brain than any of us, right? Well, there's got to be a way to access the more of our brains that we're not using, and we teach people how to do that. It also is indicative of pain relief. A couple of Heart Start calls ago, we did a specific call on pain, which if, by the way, any of you want to access some of those previous Heart Start calls, you can go to our website, which is www.fiera, F like fun, YERA.com/HeartStart, that's all one word, .html. That's www.fiera.com/heartstart.html, and that will give you access to the previous Heart Start call on pain relief, as well as all the Heart Start calls that we've recorded. And today is being recorded, so if you wish to go back and listen to this again or pass it on to a friend that you think would benefit from listening to the call, for 1 week, the playback number will be 641 985-5018. And the access code is 515-668-pound, which is the same access code you used to get into the call today. And so if you wish to re-listen to this or send it on to a friend, it'll be available at that number for a week and then available as a downloadable on the fira.com/heartstart.html site. So I welcome you all to the call tonight, whatever your background is or your goals are for being here. We created these calls, which one of our clients fondly nicknamed the Oasis of Positivity, and that's kind of stuck. She called it that the first night. It's a chance for people who, for all of us really in the Sierra community, to come together, something to look forward to that's free, where we can just sit back and start our week off, reach the power of the heart and the power of feel-good stories that capture the potential of the heart and inspire hope. And also, we like to show people how to get started. How do you, if there is this hope that there's a different way to live, a way that feels good and that is good for you, that doesn't require that you have to stand on your head and pat your belly and sit in lotus and twist your legs over your nostrils and eat only bitter greens and beans and never have sugar. I meet so many people that are prisoners of their healthy lifestyles, and feeling like a prisoner is not so healthy. So there's hope. There actually is a way to de-stress without creating more stress with stringent diets and impossible exercise regimes. And that has something to do with the power of the heart and this brilliant research that people at HeartMath have brought to us. And so tonight is also a chance to show people how that works a little bit, to introduce you to the science behind feeling good, that there's actually a science behind this, and to learn through that science what is it that gets in the way of feeling good and how can we feel better more often and help others to do the same by transforming what gets in the way to being the way to feeling good. And it's ironic, you know, because so often one of the gateways to feeling good is not judging feeling bad. And we talked about that during the pain call, but it applies as well to time. All I have to do is say time, and I can feel everyone's shoulders tense slightly. The word itself seems to send ricochets of stress into our culture. And we have almost a mantra, a chronic chant, humming in the background like a chorus, a Greek chorus. There's not enough time, there's not enough time, there's not enough time. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that has that chorus playing on my Walkman all day long on my iPod. But I've found that with the power of the HeartMath system and HeartMath tools, time has taken on a whole new dimension. And so we'll talk about tonight how you could apply the HeartMath system to have more time, bend time, create time for what is most important to you, and how the research and the tools can facilitate that for you. Obviously, this is a lot to cover, 20 years of research, 15 years of my own personal experience, a wide body of scientific information, and more than 30 so or so tools, as well as biofeedback technologies, that is the body of work that we're offering here. So we're not going to cover all that in an hour, but this is definitely an hors d'oeuvre, an appetizer that can satiate your quest for knowing more about the heart, and then at the end of the call we'll tell you where you can, where and how you can find out more and come eat a whole feast. The feasting continues. So, how does time management relate to stress and HeartMath? I don't know if anybody wants to take a moment and share any time stories. You can think about that for a second while I say that I'm continually amazed as my own life pushes me to new levels of cramming more in less time. I was putting together this past couple of weeks some of the advanced presentations for, we started a new program here at Sierra called the Heart Mastery Program, which is a year-long program, kind of like getting your PhD in the heart. And it allows people to go deeper with the heart math system, to have a context to practice inside of a community of other people who are working with these tools, as well as getting objective medical testing quarterly throughout the year that measures their progress, because we can actually see changes in stress hormones and anti-aging rejuvenation hormones as people use HeartMath tools over a longer period of time. And so I was preparing some of the presentations for the advanced courses in the Heart Mastery Program and came across a HeartMath slide from some of our work that in the 1950s, which is when my my father graduated from medical school, he was an immunologist, information was doubling every 20 years. So that meant that at the time that my father graduated from medical school, for him to keep up in his field, his specialty of immunology, he only had to double the information that he was taking in every 20 years. It was actually feasible for him to do that at the time. It was maybe a stretch. But by the year 2005, anybody know how quickly information was doubling? Anybody want to take a wild guess?
Every 3 years.
How about every 12 months?
Really?
Now, that was 2 years ago. So you can see it's got an exponential curve. I have no idea what it is now. But what does that mean? That means doubling. So what my father would have learned in 20 years or 30 years, now he's got to learn in 1 month or 1 year. It's not possible anymore, right? Well, especially since my father's not alive anymore. You never know, maybe wherever he is, he can handle even more information. But the idea here is, if my father was still around, still an immunologist, for him to keep up, he'd never be able to sleep. Even if he read all the medical papers that were being published in immunology all night long, he would still never be able to keep up with the amount of information that he would have to stay up to date with information doubling that rapidly. It's just an example of the undercurrent in our current culture. There's not enough time, there's not enough time, there's not enough time. It's like the walls breathe it. And so that creates, ironically, a lot of stress for people. Why is that ironic? Because if you think back to when our ancestors didn't have enough time, now I'm talking way back, let's say living in the jungle, running from, our favorite on these calls is always running from the saber-toothed tigers, so we'll just go for that. What is it that we didn't have enough time for then? It certainly wasn't reading medical papers, right? Or keeping abreast of the internet. Or making sure that Windows has all its updates. The latest antivirus software is downloaded. What were we running out of time for back in our cave-dwelling, prairie-living, hunting-gathering days? Anybody?
Get enough food.
Say that. Say a little louder. Is that Dana?
Get enough food and, you know, to survive.
Right, like maybe we were running out of time before the winter came to gather enough stores for the winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we're running out of time between the tiger's teeth and our butt. Right? So literally running out of time when our bodies were designed was a survival issue. Now, my father might have tried to convince us that him staying abreast of the latest information in immunology was a survival issue for him in his career. And then he can make all kinds of links, right, to, well, if I lose my job, then I won't have food, and then I'll die. And this is kind of how we're living now. These things that are not direct threats to our survival, we're reacting to as if they are. And it's that reaction that is defined as stress in the work we do here at Fiera. Not the circumstance, not the increased information overload, not the more to do in less time. But it's really the reaction that we have inside that's stress. And that reaction, ironically, was designed to keep us alive when we were running from tigers and living in the prairie. And now it's killing us. Now it's elevated stress hormone levels are present in all the major heavy hitter diseases, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, dementia, aging, blood sugar imbalances, arthritis. So these very software programs running inside our systems that were designed to keep us alive are now compromising our quality and length of life because we're reacting with them in situations that aren't a threat to our survival. So as the walls are breathing, there's not enough time, there's not enough time, there's not enough time, then we react to that mantra, that thought that we tell ourselves with stress hormones. And here's the very key piece of this relative to the time issue. Our brain shuts down. Our higher cortex, the frontal lobes of the brain shut down, I should say. The nice big forehead. You don't see dinosaurs walking around with big foreheads like we have. Ironically, the very part of the brain that can language the sentence, there's not enough time, is the part of the brain that shuts down when we tell ourselves that and go into urgency. So I want you all to think for a moment of a time when you went fast, but without urgency. When you went fast in flow. And see if you notice a difference between being speedy, with urgency, with the anxiety or the stress that causes, and being in a fast flow. It turns out that one of those, the urgency, creates a chaotic pattern in the heart. The urgency, the feeling of stressful emotion that generates, creates a chaotic pattern in the heart that desynchronizes the nervous system, creates stress hormones in your body, and shuts down perceptual centers in the brain that might be able to see broader solutions. Whereas, when you're in a fast flow, whether it's fast or slow, being in a flow state from that feeling that we're calling Fiera creates a uniquely ordered rhythm in the heart, which synchronizes the autonomic nervous system, affecting 97% of your body's functions, including opening the higher centers of the brain to be able to see more solutions, to be able to perhaps find ways to get more done in less time. So the more stressed we get about time, the less we can see clearly how we might have time that we can't see. And the more we stay in a flow state or a state of appreciation and gratitude or any of the Fiera feel-good emotions, the more the brain centers are facilitated to open up and get a bigger picture. I'm going to make this very practical, give you some specific examples of how I have applied this. But before I do, I want you guys to have an experience of this. So I'd like everyone to take a moment. And if you have pen and paper, I want you to jot down a list of stressful situations, events, attitudes, feelings that you've had in the past. You could pick for yourself, the past 24 hours or the past week. And just take a moment and jot those down. And while you're doing that, and if you don't have a pen and paper, you can make a mental note of this. And just pay attention. One of the first things we do in the beginner class at Sierra is help people become more aware of stress reactions. Because so many of us have adapted to this as a normal, quote-unquote, way to live, that hidden stress is a cause of disease because we're not even aware that we're stressed anymore. So just becoming aware is a really positive first step to be able to make positive change in your body, in your emotions, in your quality of life experience. So as you're either making a mental note of those things or jotting them down on a piece of paper, what I want to share with you is that time is not just a linear 60 seconds in a minute process. As a matter of fact, there's a company in Northern California. I don't know if they still exist. I met one of the women that was working with them. At the time, this was about 5 years ago, they were called Jump. And Jump was hired by several large companies to research time and how time works. And Jump found that we have many, many, many ways of looking at time in our culture that aren't accounted for. That the only ways that we really account for are the clock. But in our communication, we address time in many different dimensions. So, for example, this company helped Disney, and I don't know if Disney ended up using them or not, to create something called ish watches. What's an ish watch? Well, think about this. You are going to have dinner with a friend, and you say, okay, well, why don't we meet around 6-ish so we can go to an 8-ish movie? Well, the ish watches were synchronized via an internet Bluetooth technology so that friend one, if got stuck in traffic, wouldn't have to pick up the phone and call friend two. They just adjust the ish watch to 6:15, and then their friend's watch would automatically adjust. And the adjustment would say dinner. So that they're measuring time via dinner rather than numbers. Disney was interested in this because at Disney they were measuring time in rides rather than hours in the day. Right? When you're having fun, Disney was supposed to be the happiest place on earth. So when you're having fun, time flies, right? We have all these sayings in our culture. Well, so they thought, wouldn't it be great if we're not measuring time by numbers and hours? Getting people in their heads when they're at Disneyland. Instead, they could measure it in the rides. So a family could synchronize their watches to the order of rides they're going to do, and via that way communicate with each other through this Bluetooth technology what ride they're on and how long the line is. So they're not having to meet at 1 o'clock, but instead they can look down at their watch and go, oh, okay, we're going to go meet at the log ride. So time is really a measure of our movement through space. I mean, that's how we literally measure time. Time is a measurement of how our planets are moving relative to our sun in space. And so the question is, what is it that's filling up most of our space? Because time and energy get very linked for us. I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time. It's really, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough energy to get all I've done that I want to get done. In our next Heart Start call, we will talk about energy specifically. But today we're going to look at the time piece of that. And so hopefully by now you've had a chance to finish your list of stressors from the previous day or the previous week. And if you haven't, then you need to call us right now at 310-581-1507 because you have way too much stress in your life. No. That was a joke, although we wouldn't mind receiving your call for sure if you have questions and if you're interested in finding out more, taking our classes. So what I'd like you to do now is I want you to evaluate on the list that you've made how much time you spent thinking about those events, feeling those emotions or attitudes. And if you see any that were running 24/7, then you're going to write down 24 hours or whatever 24 times 7 is. So think about that for a second. What is that, 140 plus? No, 24 times 7. Yeah, 140 plus 30. Oh, this is terrible. See, now I have to breathe in my heart and use my own tools. I've lost my multiplication tables. So just take a moment and really go through and evaluate how much time you spent on those stressors. Because here's the interesting thing, is that how much we get done in the space that we have is really our experience of how much time we have. Einstein had a great way of describing the relativity of time, which is what we're talking about now. He said, which guy feels like 60 seconds is longer? The one that's sitting next to a beautiful woman that he'd like to spend the rest of the night with, or the one that's sitting on a hot stove with his pants down? So guaranteed the hot stove feels longer, right?
Yes.
Time is relative to what we're experiencing in time. So to have more time, the HeartMath tools empower us to clear what is wasting time. And wasting time is not necessarily waiting in line at the bank, but could be being irritated waiting in line at the bank. Go ahead and tally up the minutes or hours that you spent stressing in the last day or the last week. And just see how much time you spent, and I'm going to call that spent time, how much time you spent there. What we can do at Fiero with the power of the heart is teach you how to reinvest time so that you're not spending time, but you're investing time in a more efficient way. For those of you that have a pen and a paper, I want you to draw on your paper a chaotic scribbly line halfway across the paper, up and down, up and down, up and down, chaotic. And underneath that, I want you to draw a nice even sine curve all the way across your paper. For those of you that aren't aware of what a sine curve is, it's just even hills and valleys all the way across your paper. Now, Darshan, I know you haven't muted the call, so will you play with me here for a second?
Sure.
which one of those lines, the top one or the bottom one, would capture visually the stress that you wrote, the list of stressors you wrote down for the week?
Well, the list of stressors is definitely the ugly line.
The ugly line. Which one is the ugly line? And we're going to add judgment in here, too, okay?
Okay.
So the top one or the bottom one?
The top one. The first one that I did was the,
yes,
the ugly line.
All right.
The chaotic turns back into itself, you know, all over the place.
Right. And so which one of those lines took more ink, the top one or the bottom one?
Definitely the top one, the chaotic one.
Right. And which one went further?
Oh, the consistent sine curves.
Right.
Smoother, cleaner.
So do more with less.
Yes.
Is this what we're going to call ordered or coherent pattern? And, of course, those lines that you just drew, if you can imagine them in your mind's eye, if you were unable to write them out, are pictures of heart rhythms. The first one, your heart rhythm on stress. And the second one, your heart rhythm in that feel-great state we call Sierra. It produces that order. Well, I want you guys to imagine, what does life look like if you're playing bangy, loud, chaotic music as you're driving through? Does it feel more urgent or a more even pace? Darshan, you want to play with this one with me just for fun?
I'll play with you.
All right. So you're imagining you're going to the construction site where you're working, right?
Yes.
And not only is everybody banging their hammers and sawing and all that, but they've piped in some loud screeching sounds just for the heck of it.
Oh, yeah. The ghetto boxes, they're all over the site. Yeah.
Aha. Now, when the ghetto boxes are playing coherent music with a beat, then what happens? Are workers more efficient or less efficient when there's ghetto boxes playing coherent music?
Definitely. If there is a rock music where there's a beat where people are jiving with it, they actually perform better.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the screechy, loud stuff. All they are is hyped. You know, they're moving around a lot faster, but they're not getting as much done.
Right. So seems like they have less time with that chaos, and they're more urgent, and they get less done.
Yes.
And when they have...
It looks busier, but they're not getting as much done.
Right. And that's where so many of us are in our culture right now, spinning on the gerbil wheel, busy, busy, busy because we don't have enough time, and yet we're not efficient with our time. And it turns out, as your demonstration in the construction site shows us, rhythm has something to do with efficiency.
Yes.
And when you get the whole construction team working in the same rhythm with music guiding that, then they're in sync. That's that ordered pattern, that ordered heart rhythm inside you. When you get your teams, the Darshan teams or the Sheva teams inside your body all working on your personal inner construction coherently or in an ordered way. And then that changes how we perceive things. You can play with it sometime in your car when you're driving through the streets and see what happens when you put very chaotic sounds in your on your sound system and then change to either a smooth classical song or a piece of rock music that has a real solid beat to it, and you'll see your perception of how fast you're going and how much time you have to get there changes. And so we're able to change perceptions of time and how much we can accomplish in the space of a set period of time with the power of the heart, because it's our internal soundtrack. And we teach people how to create an ordered internal soundtrack so that they can accomplish more in less time with greater ease. So did anybody find, and you don't have to answer this, you can just look at what you came to for yourself, did you spend a lot of time in your stress perceptions, stress reactions in the last 24 hours of the last week? You can know if you're filling your time with that stress reaction, you're limiting your efficiency in every other area of activity, because that actually takes up time. And by transforming those stressful emotions, stressful reactions, stressful situations, you create more time in your schedule. Imagine what it would be like if whatever total you wrote down on your paper, you had an access to as free energy, free attention. See, the amount of time that we have is really a measure of how free our attention is in the time that we have.
Yeah.
And stress robs us of our attention. So good energy investments, good time investments, meaning that they have a high return on our efficiency, are investments of heartfelt qualities, heartfelt feelings that we teach people to access in our courses. So I'm going to give you some examples now of how I have applied and some of my patients and students have applied some of the very basic heart math tools that we teach in the beginner workshop to bend time. And the first one that comes to mind is when I had come home from a speaking trip, and I hadn't been able to check emails. I was in Hawaii, and I was giving workshops almost every day. And so I had not been in email range while I was there, and I came home to 2,900 emails in my inbox. And I only had, what was that, Darshan?
Sorry.
Just the thought of it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Makes my hands sweat now. I need to use my tools. I only had 2 days before I had to be on the road again, so I also had piles of mail, a lot of responsibilities to attend to, and I stared at that 2,900 emails in my inbox, because I was getting at that time about 300 or 400 emails a day. And I took a deep breath, and I used a tool that we teach in the beginner workshop called the Perception Shift Tool, because I was truly stressed in that moment. I had no idea how I was going to meet those 2,900 emails. And by using the Perception Shift Tool, which is a very specific tool that allows you to access the more of your brain that we're shutting down in our stress reaction, I got a great insight that has been a major time saver for me ever since. And that was to go through, and as I hit each email, to do a search on the person that that email was from, so that I got a list, a complete list of all the emails from that person, and could look at which one was the most recent and quickly surmise which ones were out of date, thereby responding to their most recent email and erasing all the rest, so that I was able to bump off maybe 30 or 40 or sometimes 20 emails at a time instead of just one at a time. Now, I didn't get through all 2,900 emails, but I did get through several hundred of them, the most important ones, and there's no way I could have done that time-saving insight. Another story that really moves me about how clients have used these tools to shift and bend time is, and I do have permission to share this story, though I won't share the names of the people that were involved. A couple came to me to learn the HeartMath system precisely because they were feeling they didn't have enough time. They were running an international business that was now working in every time zone around the world, as well as they had 3 children, so one of whom was a toddler. So they weren't getting any sleep at all, because as one of their clients would go to bed, another country full of clients was waking up. And they, of all the people I've ever trained, were the most pressed for time that I've ever met. Not only that, but their daughter, their youngest daughter, the infant, had epilepsy or some form of seizure disorder. And they had spent long hours in emergency rooms dealing with her seizures. Well, there was a time when shortly after they'd started working with me, their daughter went into such a severe seizure that she stopped breathing and turned blue. And they panicked and called 911. And it just blows me away how my clients are able to integrate what they've learned so quickly into such crisis moments. But these tools really are very easy to use, and people seem to be able to pull them out of their pocket even in the most dire situations on the spot to transform situations, and this was one of them. They used a tool called Quick Coherence and Attitude Breathing, two tools. The first designed to quickly create that order inside their own system so they could move more intelligently to protect and handle the situation with their daughter. And then attitude breathing to stabilize there. And so they used quick coherence to bring peace to themselves right away. And they were holding their daughter while they did it, and she started breathing again. And then they realized the paramedics were going to arrive, and they were dreading an emergency room saga, of which they'd experienced many, sometimes spending 2 days at a time in the emergency room or a long period of time where they weren't well equipped to deal with a toddler, so putting their daughter through a lot of trauma, not to mention the expense, but for them especially, the length of time that they would have to be there, which was a takeaway from their sense of well-being with their daughter, as well as then adding much more stress on them falling behind in their business. And so they'd been in situations before where they didn't want to go to the emergency room, but the paramedics forced them to do that, feeling that it would be child abuse not to. And so they knew that the paramedics would arrive, and they were assuming they'd have to go to the hospital even though they didn't want to. And so they were using this tool that we teach in the intermediate workshop called attitude breathing. Working with peace and ease with whatever happened, and giving that to their daughter, staying on point with what really mattered rather than going into their own stress reaction. And when the paramedics arrived, what was very interesting, and this couple described it to me, was that they arrived in their frantic, urgent, we've got to save this kid's life mode. And shortly after that, started to fall into the rhythm of ease and peace that this couple had been creating with their heart math tools. And after about a half an hour or hour of checking the child's vital signs and sitting with the parents, they said to them, they volunteered, "Well, you know, normally we would bring this child into the emergency room, but to tell you the truth, it would be so frantic there. I think it would be more of a detriment than a help to her because you've created such a peaceful environment here. Just call us again, obviously, if something goes wrong, and keep an eye on her." Well, the next day, my client picked up the phone and called me and said, "Sheva, you just earned everything we paid you and then some." We just got all our money back and then some in the time, in the headache, and in the trauma that you just saved us with these tools. And, of course, it was their sincere application of the tools that did it. But the key with the HeartMath system, or the beauty of it, is that the tools are not difficult to apply. We can teach 5-year-olds up to 95-year-olds and beyond, and they really work for anyone that has a heart and the ability to breathe and shift their emotions and their attitudes. So whether your time constraints are because you're juggling parenting and a career and a husband and trying to be super, or a wife for that matter, trying to be super mom or super dad, or like me, people are always asking me, Sheva, how can you do so much? How can you be so busy? And the truth of the matter is, I rarely feel busy. last week when I was getting ready to go to Russia, in addition to doing 10 trainings, I felt busy and I was using my tools, and I accomplished more than I ever thought possible. I did 10 trainings in 7 days in about 8 different cities, and also was getting my dry cleaning done in between trainings in order to be ready to go to Russia, which obviously didn't happen. But there was something fun about the pinball game of seeing if I could pull it off to get that much done in that little time, and using the tools that I've mentioned, attitude breathing and quick coherence and perception shift from the beginner workshop. Not only was I able to get everything done that was called for, but I was able to remove stress reactions I didn't even know were running. Like, I was speaking to a good friend last week, and I said to her, wow, I don't even have time anymore to have performance anxiety. I used to get so nervous before I was going to speak in front of groups. Even before these heart start calls, I'd have to use my heart math tools for a good 10 minutes before the call because I was so nervous. My hands were sweating. You know, it's people's biggest fear. People are more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying. And, of course, public speaking this day and age is not exactly life-threatening, at least most of the time, unless you're Sam and Rusty, I guess. But
depends on what you're saying.
Yeah, right, exactly, and to who. But certainly the public speaking that I do at this stage is not life-threatening. And though I did have the privilege this last week of training some gangs in inner city LA, which was a true privilege and something I'll perhaps do as a whole separate Heart Start Call theme. But anyway, I said to my friend, I don't even have time to get nervous before my events anymore because there's no time between the last event and the next event to get nervous. So the point being that as we clear our stress reactions, our vanities, for me that's a vanity to perfection, I don't have time to be perfect anymore, and that's such a relief. And it's so unnecessary. Perfection is a stressor and a time stealer when we put that kind of performance pressure on ourselves. So there's by leaving behind my perfectionism and my performance anxiety, I have more free attention, free energy, and free time to give myself to the people that I care about and wish to serve with the power of the heart. That actually the amount, to take the time to be anxious about getting it right, being perfect, would slow down the process of getting ready to go out the door even. Double checking, did my lip liner smudge below my lips, my pet peeve, right? All these little perfection vanities that steal time and slow down our ability to actually slow frame the moment in the heart and capture the essence of what you really care about and give that. I'm sure many of you listening have had the experience of being in a near car accident or something like that where it seems like time slows down. It slow frames. I had a teacher once tell me, faster inside, slower outside. In other words, faster consciousness, then the outside might be moving fast, but it seems like it's slower. You can catch more of what's happening in your free attention. So in a moment, I want to open up the call if you have any questions or any stories of your own that you want to share. These have just been some little tidbits about how very practically using the heart math tools can give you more time. And we promised that tonight would pave a practical path in the how-to of how to start feeling better more with the power of the heart. So the best way to access more of that is really to take a beginner heart math class, which we offer both as an all-day workshop as well as a teleclass. And the next beginner heart math class is on Saturday, June 16th. That's the heart math workshop. The next beginner heart math telephone class is starting on Tuesday, the 22nd of May. So in just about 2 weeks. And if anybody would like more information or to register for those classes, you can contact me directly, Sheva, S like Sam, H like Happy, E, V like Victor, A, at Sierra.com, or you can call us at 310-581-1507. The beginner heart math workshop or teleclass both includes the biofeedback technology, where those lines that you drew earlier today, you can actually see in real time your heart rhythm, whether it's chaotic or whether it's ordered. Biofeedback technology called the M-Wave, which a lot of our clients have affectionately called the stress iPod. And you learn much more detail in that workshop about the science and physiology of stress and of feeling good. We teach you a way to neutralize stress on the spot, as you heard in the example of the couple with their child who had stopped breathing. So when you're in the flow of life, obviously they couldn't look at their daughter who had stopped breathing and say, oh, this is very stressful, let's get out our yoga mat, or let's go meditate for a while. They had to have an immediate way to handle their stress. And that's what we teach people to do. We also teach people a proven way to lower their stress hormone levels and increase rejuvenation anti-aging hormones, which, as we mentioned, if anybody's interested in this call, we can do pre- and post-testing on your hormone and neurotransmitter levels, which I think is such a really key thing. A lot of doctors are prescribing antidepressant medication or anti-anxiety medication. 1 in 3 women in Canada is on a mood-altering drug, and 1 in 7 people in the U.S. has been on one since 1999. So $9 billion a year spent on antidepressants in the U.S. alone every year. And a lot of those are being prescribed without actually testing the neurotransmitters that they're teaching. But we can offer that so that you can see, is it really a neurotransmitter imbalance, or it might be something else going on that we can help you assess. And then once you learn how to balance yourself inside, the beginner class also then teaches you a way to transform stressful situations outside, gaining the power to resolve communication challenges, relationship conflicts, job stresses, and to reset the baseline of your nervous system. We can teach you that as well, to reduce your reactivity, your fatigue, leaving you more centered, full of energy at the same time. And as you learned today, when you have more energy, you can get more done in less time. So we give you more time there too. And of course, learning to use the more of your brain that we talked about earlier. These tools really are such an empowerment, such a gift, and it's my greatest pleasure to be passing them on, slowing the aging process, enhancing people's quality of life so that they actually have a life they want to last longer, and it turns out that it will. So just plain feeling better more often is really what we're about. And again, to register for that class or to ask any questions that maybe haven't been asked or answered for you today, you can email me, Sheva, S-H-E-V-A, at Fiera.com, or call 310-581-1507. And for those of you who are not receiving our free e-magazine, we do have a free online magazine called One Beat. And you can go to www.fiera.com. In the lower right-hand corner, there's a subscription bar if you want to sign up to get our newsletters and find out about all of our Heart Start calls. So with that, I think I'll just open up the line to see if anybody wants to ask any questions or tell their stories before we close up the call.
Sheva.
Yes, is that Darshan?
Yes, and I've already talked a lot, but I've got to say one real fast.
No, you don't have to say it fast. You could say it slow. You have all the time you need. How's that?
Great. Well, on the way home from work today, as I came out, it just came up to just take it easy. It was raining and whatever. I've got a 40-mile commute, you know, coming home from work. And so as I come up the highway and I'm cruising along slowly, about 60.
see how relative it all is.
What's that?
I said, see how relative it all is.
Yes. A man in front of me turns his Honda sideways, you know. There's a semi kind of next to me in the lane, and I'm watching this, and I'm realizing how extremely dangerous this is because, you know, he's sideways. He's going to either squirt out in front of me, in front of the semi, or something like this. But there's nothing to do but just hold this formation and, you know, not lose control of the car by doing anything. But what I noticed is while this is going on, I saw and felt the stress rush rise, and what runs through the mind is this is the same as the phone call from that man, an owner on a project who calls up very irate and angry a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just recognized as, my gosh, this is the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what came to mind is how much you said it's the same survival reaction. Because here I am in something that is a life-death kind of thing. I mean, you know, or life or death of my car or something. And it's no different from a confronting phone call.
That's right.
And what an experience. And so, you know, I just went on home just breathing through my heart. And just such great peace, you know, just thinking. Thank you so much for these calls and the supportiveness they are in, you know, coming to our one with our hearts. You know, this is beautiful.
Ah, thank you for that story, Darshan. It's so fruitful. You know, your choice to shift back to the heart after that then saved you so much time and energy when you got home. Right, because so often we come home from something like that. You won't believe what happened to me on the freeway today, right?
Yeah.
And instead, you reclaimed your time and gave that back to yourself. And that's a wonderful example of how the power of the heart puts us literally back in the driver's seat instead of being victims of life.
I was totally free of it. It didn't come to mind until you started talking about, you know, that, and then it jumped into my mind. Oh, yeah. You know, like it was gone.
I love that. Darshan, thank you so much. You always bring so much to these calls. I really appreciate it. I look forward to our call next Monday. We'll talk about energy and how the power of the heart can also increase our energy. So thank you all so much for joining us. We often close these calls by taking a moment to pay it forward, connecting with something that you appreciated or learned in today's call, and just pausing for a moment to be grateful for that. And then becoming aware of a person or a place in the world that you feel could benefit from this oasis of positivity. And just with your intention, or maybe your telephone, sending the benefit of this call to that person. Whatever you've appreciated that you've received, passing it on. Ah, thank you all so much. I look forward to these calls very much. I enjoy them myself, and have a great week playing with investing your time in a new way instead of spending your time. Take care, Darshan, and everyone else.
And thank you. Thank you all.
Good night.
Good night, Sheva.